the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly, Holy, Almighty God, loving Father, we come and we sit at your feet so that we can learn the spiritual truths from your holy words, especially the practices of the apostles. Help us to learn the true spirit with which these apostles have carried your name. Through the intercession of Saint Mary, the Mother of God, Saint Peter and Saint Paul the Apostle, Saint George the Martyr, Saint Gregorius of Parimala, Saint Gregorius of Pampadi, Mother Dionysius of Watercheadle, and through the intercession of all our beloved departed saints and our beloved departed ones, we pray from here on from forever and ever. Amen. So good evening, everybody. Rupa, if you have anything to introduce, please start.
Nothing much, Sachin. Announcements we will do in the end. Today we will be having Ruby George. She will be assisting you with Bible reading.
Judy George or Julie George?
Ruby, J-U-B-Y.
Ruby, okay. Where is Ruby from?
Ruby from Santiago, California.
I couldn't hear you. Sorry about that.
I'm from Dallas.
From Dallas, okay. Welcome, Ruby. So glad that you are reading. I heard you reading, and I like it. I mean, one thing I want to start here. You know, some of you have your children serving in the Holy Madbaha as well. So I want to tell you, and you know, some of you are Sunday school teachers. So even otherwise, whenever you see or you hear somebody reading the Bible, in the Orthodox tradition, reading the Bible is not just reading, like we read the newspaper or the TV anchor reads the news. No, that's not how we read the Bible. The reading the Bible is a chant. And I have instructed that to the kids or the people or the men who are serving in the Madbaha with me. And everywhere when I get a chance, I tell them. The reason why we read the Bible in a chanting mode is that through certain inflections and intonations, we can change the meaning. You all know that. We can ask the question, was he sad? Was he sad? See the difference in intonations that makes the meaning different and the feelings different. So when we chant, we cannot introduce any different meanings, any different inflections. So please instruct every child, everyone whom you come across when they read the Holy Bible. In the Orthodox tradition, we do not read, we chant. In the West, it is reading. That, you know, imitating that, many are reading the Holy Bible in the church during a liturgical handling. Like reading a newspaper. No, that is wrong. Please encourage everybody to chant. And Ruby chanting the Bible, that made me think about that. Thank you very much. Now let's get into chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, please.
Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks.
Thank you. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. You remember Corinth, where Corinth is. Corinth is just, just west to Athens. If you can open that map, which I have sent you a couple of weeks back, actually precisely 4 weeks back, maybe 5 weeks, I don't remember. You open that, you can see Athens and Corinth. It's about 60 miles west of Athens. And Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. That's where Paul is now. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila. This is the name of the man, Aquila. And his wife's name is Priscilla. And they were born in Pontus, but they used to live in Rome. And, you know, on the map, you can see where Rome is, Corinth. And then Rome is in Italy, all the way up north and west. That is where Rome is. You can see it in kind of a pinkish purple color. So they both were expelled from Rome because when Claudius, I think you all got that image of Emperor Claudius, he was the emperor from 41 through 54 AD, and he expelled all the Jews from Rome. The reason why Claudius expelled the Jews from Rome was that the Romans were kind of they welcomed all kinds of religions, but they didn't honor, they didn't patronize any other religions than the Roman paganism. So Claudius didn't want any other religion, the religion or the Isis cult or the Mithra cult or Judaism or even Christianity. Christians were also already in Rome. And then, Christians were expelled and Jews were expelled from Rome. And there is a man called, his name was Suetonius. S-E-U-T-O-N-I-U-S, Suetonius, he made a biography of Claudius. And in that biography, chapter 25, verse 4, he writes that there was a man whose name was Christus. And this Christus was instigating Jews to make mutiny trouble within Rome, and because of that very reason the Jews were expelled. And there is other interpretation as well, that this Christus or Christus was none other than Jesus Christ himself, and the followers of Jesus Christ clashed with the Jews, and because of that reason the Jews were expelled from Rome. All the Jews were expelled from Rome. And this must have happened in around AD 47, 48, something of that time period. And then Priscilla and Aquila, they both were expelled to Corinth. And what is another thing to keep in mind is that they both, Priscilla and Aquila, they had the same trade like Paul. Namely, tent maker. So if I had a chance to ask each one of you, what do you understand by tent making? We all are actually tempted to say that tent making means making tents, right? Immediately, that is how we are going to look at it. However, in the New Testament, tent making doesn't mean actual tent making. Tent making means working with leather. That trade is otherwise called fullery, F-U-L-L-E-R-Y, fullery. There was a bishop, very famous bishop. He was the one who actually introduced, you who is crucified for us, have mercy upon us in the Trisagion. His name was Peter the Fuller. He was the one who used to make leather. So Paul's trade was not tent making like we oftentimes think about. It was working with leather. So that trade that united Aquila and Priscilla with Paul, and they both were very active Jews, and Paul used to go to synagogue, and that is where they met together. One more thing. Priscilla is the man, and Aquila is the man and Priscilla is the wife. Oftentimes, Priscilla's name comes before that of Aquila. The reason why it is happening, because women had such a very respectful position in the society. Although both were very much involved people, Priscilla was more into caring for the community, and she was more a leader than Aquila. And they were all coming together in the synagogue, and Paul, please see the verse, verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So he reasoned. The word reason, please keep that in mind. That means you are talking to the reason of the other person. You are not talking emotionally. You are talking to the reason to the other person. And when you talk to the other person on the level of reason, the emotions come very much in line, come in tune with the speaker. And thus, the word of God is getting into the news. I think you remember the word news, which I spoke about a couple of weeks back, to the news of the listeners. And today, when we try to preach the gospel to the word of God to somebody, we often fail to talk to the news of the people. We often fail to reason with people. And that is one reason why we cannot get converts. The Orthodox Church does not get any converts, or barely gets any converts. One reason why we do not get converts is because we are not talking to the reason of the people. Okay, please go verses 5 through 11. Please, 5 through 11.
When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testifying to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garment and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in the city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If you remember, in the previous chapter, Paul has left Silas and Timothy in Beroea. And he went from Beroea to Athens. Oh, by the way, in India, we are trained to say, we are trained to pronounce the name of the capital of Greece as Athens. Actually, it is not Athens, it is Athens. Because I think you remember, I explained the city Athens a couple of weeks back. It is because of the goddess Athena, and her name is Athena, not Athena, and the city is called Athens, not Athens. I thought of making that comment because I heard many read Athens. I'm sorry, Athens instead of Athens. So Paul went to Athens from Beroea, and he was instructing Silas and Timothy to come and join him, and where? In Corinth. And they, when coming back from Macedonia, very specifically Thessalonica, yeah, Paul is gathering information about the church in Thessalonica. And it is here, while in Corinth, he is writing a letter to the Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, we can very clearly know that it is from here that Paul is writing this letter. Especially after Silas and Timothy have reported to Paul about the life of people in Thessalonica. Another thing is that Silas and Timothy, they brought a lot of money from Thessalonica. And because of that very reason, up until then, Paul was living Paul was living on his own hard work, namely tent making, which means working with leather. Instead of that, he now is becoming a full-time gospel worker. He is now a full-time gospel worker, and he is going to synagogues on Sabbath days, and therefore preaching to the people, reasoning to the people. And this is something that we need to keep in mind. Instead of preaching the gospel only on Shabbat day, he is now preaching full time. One thing I want to add here. Preaching the gospel becomes a full-time work. And Paul was bi-professional. Namely, he was the gospel worker as well as he used to work in tent making. Many people say Paul at different occasions is also speaking about remuneration to the gospel workers. He's asking, if you're working as a gospel worker, don't you need to subsist on the gospel work? It is there, but Paul was working on one hand, he is also serving the gospel. So keep it in mind, this is something that many of us have confused. Many people say that Paul worked and then did the gospel work. Actually, Paul did work and he did the gospel work, but when he got money from the church, he became a full-time gospel worker. And many have started clashing in Corinth. Many Jews have started clashing with the Christians in Corinth. And that is where we read the verse 6 and 7. Actually speaking, verse 6 very specifically, 6 and 7 actually, is very specifically saying that Paul had to be in the midst of this clash. He is quoting Old Testament 2 Kings verse 1:16, where he is where the prophet is asking Ahaz, who started worshiping Baal, and also Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 13, where the prophet Ezekiel is admonishing the people not to turn to evil gods. In the same style, Paul is shaking his garments. In Malayalam, it is said, avan vastram keeri ennu ezhuthirikkunnu. Actually, vastram keeri also means shaking his garments. And that means that I do not want to do anything with you from here on. The same thing we see in the gospel, where Pontius Pilate is shaking his garment, or he is tearing off his garment. It means, I do not want to do anything with you from here on. That was the cultural thing as well. And he shook his garments. And then he said to the opposers, to the blasphemers, and said, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. See, when Paul is going to the Gentiles to preach, that time onwards, what's happening? Paul is a full-time gospel worker. And he has received the money that Silas and Timothy brought from Thessalonica. And he departed from there and entered to the house of a certain man named Justus, or Eustace in Latin, in Greek, Eustace. And he who, and Eustace worshipped God. He entered into the house of Eustace, means Paul started living in the house of Eustace. And the next door was the synagogue where, and Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue or the leader of the synagogue, he also believed in the Lord and his household. His entire household believed in Jesus Christ. And many Corinthians, hearing Paul, they started believing in the gospel and they were baptized. Now, Corinth has a very specific trait. Corinth had a very specific trait. And that very specific trait was that a lot of immorality, sexual immorality, used to happen in Corinth. And that's why Paul is writing specifically about the immorality in Corinth in his letters. And because of that very reason, many were not interested in this, in the life of Corinth. And that is also one reason why many started believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, this Gaius, who is being talked about here, he is being mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 23. And Crispus' name is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. The same man is being mentioned about. And he lived in this place in Corinth for 18 months, for 18 long months. And then that vision to Paul. The Lord spoke to Paul in the night, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or to hurt you, or hurt you, for I have many people in the city." And he continued there year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And this is a very specifically powerful a text. When you are committed to the gospel, you will not be in trouble at all. The Lord is strongly behind you. So let's go to verses 12 through 17, please. Thank you.
When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and bade him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things.
Thank you. Gallio was the proconsul of Achaia. If you look into the map, you can see Achaia, and Corinth was the capital of Achaia. And Gallio was the proconsul of Achaia. Proconsul means the regional administrator instituted by the Roman emperor. If you remember, Claudius was the Roman emperor, and Gallio was the proconsul, the governor, or something else of that stature, like Pontius Pilate in the Jewish in Galilee, areas like that. Gallio was the proconsul, and he was a very influential man in Rome. His father was Seneca the senior, and his brother was Seneca the junior. And by 51 AD, July, he was instituted as the proconsul of Achaia. This man was not very strong in physical stature, and because of that reason, he couldn't do the proconsulate for uh, for more than 2 years. And it is this time that the Jews try to reach a clear order, I mean, get a clear order against Paul. And Gallio, being a very clever man, he understood the cleverness of the Jews, because there are two types of religious legitimacies or legitimacies in a Roman empire. One is called religio licita, said in Latin, religio licita, L-I-C-I-T-A, R-E-L-I-G-I-O, L-E-C-I-T-A, religio licita, or licit religion, said in English. And the second is religio illicita, I-L-L-I-C-I-T-A, illicita in Latin, illicit in English. So this was, there were illicit religions as well as illicit religions. And the Jews, what they are trying here is to make Christianity illicit. That means it has no recognition, no established status in Roman Empire. But Gallio is not falling to that trap. And he is saying, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be a reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves. For I do not want to be a judge of such matters. Look how clever he is maneuvering his own words. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. It is very interesting. You know, just a second, please. The word Greek here, what I was trying to see what exactly that word Greeks here means. You know, the word Greek in other versions of the ghost of the text, it doesn't say Greek. It says they all. So that means, I think, although it is written Greeks here, I think it means Jews. Then all the Jews took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. Because Gallio has thrown out all the complaining Jews from the judgment seat. The Jews had to do something in order to settle down their anger. And who got beaten up? Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue in Corinth. Let's go to verse 18 through 21, please.
So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus.
Thank you. Very good, very good. Look at that. Paul still remained a good while, and then he took leave of the brethren. Look at the word brethren. You know, here the brethren now are the converts from among the Greeks. And he is, he is taking leave from them. And who are accompanying Paul here? Priscilla and Aquila. Look again here, the name of Priscilla is coming ahead of Aquila's. And he sailed for Syria all the way to the right, if you see Syria, or on through the Mediterranean Sea, he sailed all the way up to Syria. And he has his hair cut off in Cenchrea. Look at that. Corinth, the next port city is Cenchrea in the Mediterranean Sea, Cenchrea. The reason why he is cutting his hair, there's a very, very specific reason behind it. In the book of Numbers, in the third book of Moses, chapter 6, verse 5, when you are receiving a special care from God, you are starting a specific lifestyle, a committed, a dedicated lifestyle, and that is called Nazir. John the Baptist was a Nazir. That means dedicated, set apart, and that is for a period of time. And when you are Nazir, you do not cut your hair. You do not cut your beard nor your hair. And that is how Samson was. So, Paul was a Nazir at that time, and he cut his hair in Cenchrea. In Malayalam, it is written as Cenchrea. Anyway, he did his hair cut in Cenchrea. And in Corinth, he was such a great, successful, gospel worker. And that is what he cut off in Cenchrea. And from there, he is coming to Ephesus. Ephesus is in the Western Turkey. And he comes to Ephesus, and before that, I want to add another word. Please see verse 21. He took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. Look at that. The word that is so highlighted is God willing. How much did Paul entrusted himself to the will of God? God willing. And also, please keep it in mind, he is now going to the holy city, namely Jerusalem. Why? Because that is the time that he wanted to take part in the main festival of Christianity. That could have been very well. This is happening in the month of April, and I really believe, I think in 50, I really believe that this was 52, right after the death of Gallio, and he was wanting to celebrate Easter in Jerusalem in 52 AD. And that was the time of Passover, and he might have stayed in Jerusalem for about two months, up until the festival of Pentecost. And now let's read verses 21 and 22 and 23 maybe, please. Sorry, 22 and 23.
And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples.
Thank you. You know, Paul went to Ephesus, and he kind of reasoned with the Jews there, and he went to Caesarea. And it is here, from Ephesus, that the Aquilas and Priscilla couple, they went back to Rome. That is a very, very fair guess. Because Claudius, the Roman emperor, he died in 54. 41 through 54. And because of his death, the Roman, city of Rome, they started welcoming Jews. And because of that very reason, they must have returned back to Rome. And we can read that in Romans chapter 16, verse 3 and 4 as well. And what a role did Priscilla and Aquila play in Rome as well? We know that reading the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. And in the people in Ephesus, they were compelling Paul to stay there longer, but then Paul was wanting to go to Jerusalem. And he goes to Caesarea, and Jerusalem was not that far from Caesarea. So that is how it was. Now let's read 24 to the end of the chapter, please.
Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ.
Thank you very much. I would like to take you to verse 22 one more time here in order to understand this. These verses 24 through 28. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. This is very, very pivotal. He went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia. In Galatia and Phrygia, in order strengthening all the disciples. If I take you to chapter 13, verse 1, chapter 15, verse 36, these are the two verses where we read the first and the second missionary journey of Paul. In this verse, 18:22, Paul is again coming back to Antioch. The first missionary journey started in Antioch. The second one started in Antioch. And the third one is starting also from Antioch. The reason why the missionary journey is starting from Antioch is because that Antioch was the place where Christians first received the name Christians. You all know that. And he departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. See, that is the third missionary journey beginning. And there was a man from Alexandria. You know, Alexandria, if you look at the map, all the way down south at the southern end of the map in Egypt, the Mediterranean Sea is coming to the boundary of Africa, namely Egypt, Alexandria, you see. That is where this man from. And he was a very learned man. His name was Apollo. And he was very much eloquent, mighty in the scriptures. He was a Jew. And he came to Ephesus. And when he came to Ephesus, he started preaching. He started preaching to the people in the synagogue, and the scriptures were his main topic, and he came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord as well, because he was very much a man of vigor, yet he had only known the baptism of John. He was known. He was not known to the baptism of Jesus Christ, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That baptism was unknown to him. And please see the verse 25, and fervent in spirit, spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. You know, this is a great trait. This is a great trait of Apollos. Fervent in spirit. And secondly, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, just like Paul would do. And it is in this context that Aquila and Priscilla, you know, I told you, they went back to Rome after the death of Claudius. But that journey took place only in 54. Right now, we are living in 52 AD. And Aquila's and Priscilla, they took him aside. And they taught Apollo very, very specifically the intricacies of the gospel. And he was given the baptism, I assume, baptism in the name of the Holy Trinity through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was fortified. He was strengthened. And that made this man, Apollos, more and more strong and founded in the gospel. And he started speaking more accurately. And when he decided to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. So when Paul started his journey, he was receiving letters from one place to the other place. Similarly, Apollos also received a letter. And he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So, he was very fervent in spirit, and he didn't fear at all. He was so bold and strong, he didn't fear. And he was very much willing to learn. I think you remember, I talked about teachability a couple of weeks back. Although Apollos was a learned man, he had a lot of vigor and very much fervent in spirit, he was willing to learn as well. This is something that we have to also take note of. We do not know who can teach us. We can learn from anybody. We do not disrespect anybody. Instead, this is something that this text is teaching us, that we can learn from anyone by being non-judgmental, by being humble, by being willing to learn. At the same time, very fervent, very much eloquent. There is a dichotomy. There is a binary here. On one hand, he is very eloquent. On the other hand, he is learning. And I would like to take your attention to another very important aspect. It is about this Apollo that Paul is mentioning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12, chapter 3 verse 4, chapter 3 verse 6. Paul is asking about the Christians in Corinth. I hear that there are two parties among you in Corinth. One is the party of Paul, the faction of Paul, and the other is the faction of Apollos. And Paul is asking, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Paul is the one who planted, and Apollo was the one who watered. And the planter is not the one who is making a plant grow. And the one who is watering is not the one who is making a plant grow. Rather, it is God. So, Paul is very specifically mentioning about Apollo. Although there had been two factions, two parties in Corinth, Paul and Apollo didn't have a problem between each other. Today, we can learn a lot from this person, Apollo, because unfortunately, we are still in factional spirits. We get offended and we go to factional spirits. But we have to be really careful about the one who is making a plant grow. So let me conclude with this. And I asked many of you to send your feedback, and one person very, very boldly sent me a feedback. I'm really thankful to that person, a friend of mine. I can say only that much. And that lady was very kind, and that person sent me a feedback. And the feedback was that, Achin, at the end of the class, why don't you summarize everything that you spoke about? So I'm going to summarize what we spoke about. We spoke about the beginning of the church in Corinth and the two people who came from Rome, namely Aquilas and Priscilla, and the work of Paul and Aquilas and Priscilla that were tent making, and we discussed what tent making is, and how Silas and Timothy, they came from Macedonia, and they brought money for Paul, where Paul has decided to turn to full-time ministry, and how he is not working as tent maker anymore. This is full-time ministry in Corinth. And the trouble that had happened in Corinth, how the Jews clashed against Paul, how he was taken to the proconsul Gallio, and how what an influential man Gallio was, the time that he lived, 51 and 52 AD, and during the time of Claudius, the Christians who were expelled, they were very much coming to Ephesus and Corinth. We discussed all that. And Paul is going to Jerusalem to take part in the feast of Passover or Pentecost, or until Pentecost in Jerusalem, and then he is coming back to Antioch. And now all of you should be answering me, what did he start from Antioch when he came to Antioch? He started his third missionary journey, and Paul is now coming to Ephesus from Antioch, and that is the place where Apollos is there, and Priscilla and Aquila, they are now in Ephesus because they traveled with Paul to Ephesus, and they were the ones who were instructing Apollo in Ephesus, who went to Corinth thereafter. One more thing, I think I failed to mention that. Now Priscilla's and Aquilas, they both have become well-versed in Christian teachings. They learned from Paul for years now. And they are becoming apostles. Apostles of Jesus Christ through Paul. And that brings me to the concluding remark. How often do we courageously and boldly speak the name of Jesus Christ? How often do we show the courage to speak about our God Jesus Christ? This is something that we have to keep in mind. This is something that I learned from reading the Acts or the practice of the holy apostles. So this is what I have about chapter 18. If you have any questions, please mention, please let me know. Our system is such that this is I would compare this class like television. The one who is speaking in television or radio, they do not hear what the listeners are responding, and the speaker doesn't know what is being assumed, what is being received, what is being internalized, and that is a flaw of our class over the telephone. So if anybody has a question, please take 3 or 4 minutes to ask. I'm singularly happy to receive your feedback. Rupa, if you could unmute. Thank you.
Yeah, Jim, I have unmuted all the lines. So if anybody wants to ask. I have changed the setting, so everybody is unmuted now. You can ask any questions if you have to mention directly. We'll wait for 3 to 4 minutes, Raja.
What did you say, Rova? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I have opened all the lines. Every line is unmuted. So
yeah, if anybody has a question, let them ask.
Yeah, please go ahead.
If you do not have a question, please mute yourself. Bye. If you have a question, please ask. Nobody has a question?
Yes, I have a question, Achan.
Please introduce yourself and ask. Please, please. I cannot hear you. Okay. Can you hear?
Yes, I can hear now.
Okay. Are you using speakerphone?
Yes.
Hello? Are you using speakerphone?
Yes.
Please turn speakerphone off and speak without the speakerphone.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you better.
I cannot hear you now.
Yeah, you ask the question and then turn back to speak.
All right, okay. My question is, why Orthodox people cannot reason and convert people into Christianity now?
Thank you for that question. I really, really like it. Rupak, you can unmute. You can mute every line now. So that
shall I mute every line?
Please, until I end.
Okay. Hello.
Thank you, Ruba. Yes, okay. I can hear you. If I had heard the question correct, it was like, why Orthodox people cannot convert people into Christianity? That is how the question sounded to me. Did I hear it right, Ruba?
Yeah. I also heard it like that, yes.
Very good. That was a question from someone from the St. Thomas Orthodox Church, Atlanta, if I heard it right as well. Now, I do not know where from this thought coming in that Orthodox people cannot convert anybody. We can. I have very close friends from the Orthodox Church of America, from the Russian Orthodox Church, who are Achans and who were converted Christians. They all can do it. And why cannot we? We can. We should. Actually speaking, I'm sharing with you a dream that I have. In 10 to 15 to 20 years time, we should have enough converts into our church from among the Caucasians, African Americans, Spanish people, so that our church is becoming an American, fully an American church, with the theological heritage from India. That is why we are here. That is exactly why St. Thomas came to India. That is exactly why Paul traveled in all places. We should. And why we cannot? Because we do not have the conviction like that of Apollo. We do not have the fervor like Apollo. We are not fervent in spirit. We are not learning. We are sometimes iffy, if I put in a colloquial parlance. We need to be really convinced. We need to be learning. But we have to really speak to the heart of the people. We have to reason with people. We are not arguing. We are not fighting with anyone else. We are, through our lives, we reason to reason with the people. When we do that, all these things will fall into places. It's like a Rubik's Cube. When the five sides become of the same color, the sixth side will be the same color. I think I answered the question. Thank you. Rupa, we have only 2 more minutes, I think.
Yes, Sachin. Shall I open it once more? Or
Today we can, because we need to stop also on time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, ma'am, for asking that question. I want to thank Juby for reading the text very beautifully. You read it very clearly. And hopefully, this chapter was clear to all of you. If you have any announcements, Rupa, please make it.
Yeah. Thank you, Acha. It was a very informative class. We learned many things, especially about the meaning of tent making. It was a small point, but like many were not aware of it. I believe you must have noticed the explanation given by Achan for Paul cutting his hair off. We have chosen Acts chapter 18, verse 18 as one of the memory verses because it has a significance. I believe you might have heard Achan's explanation. Achan explained it beautifully by giving the reference, Numbers chapter 6, verse 5. It was very helpful and detailed class. Thank you, Achan. It was a blessing. Thanks to all those who joined the class this evening. Thank you for supporting our Bible class. Please continue to pray for us. Today, Psalms and Acts were read by Juby George. Juby is from Dallas region. She is a member of St. George Orthodox Church, Irving. Juby is an active member of all our MMES activities, and she is currently serving as MMES treasurer in her church. Thank you, Juby, for volunteering to read Bible. Appreciate your help. Announcements. Tomorrow, we'll be having our faith study class at 8:30 p.m. Please note the change in class timing. There is a slight change in time. Instead of 8 p.m., we'll be starting our class at 8:30 p.m. Please let others also know. That's all from my side. We can wind up our class with prayer, Asha.
Thank you. Thank you, Rupa. I have an announcement. We will see each other here next week.
Okay,
let's pray. It's already 1 minute past 10. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, and since we have forgiven our debtors, lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is fruit of thy womb, our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Virgin, Saint Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at all times at the hour of our death. Amen. May the love of God the Father, grace of the Holy Begotten Son, communion dwelling of the Holy Spirit be upon us all from here on forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good night.
Thank you,
Acha.
Thank you, Acha. Thank you, Juby. Thank you, everyone. Good night. Mm-hmm.